Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schooler.
Wow. Well, I'm very privileged today to be joined by our regular guest, Stephen J. Manning. And if you don't know him, I suggest you Google him. But here, we're actually here to talk about writing with AI, writing with artificial intelligence, AI for content, AI for bloggers, structured writing. And we're going to delve a little bit into storytelling, which is something that Stephen knows huge amounts about, because he built a very, very large marketing business that was generating over $1 billion a year by the time he retired from that particular entity. So thank you, Stephen. Really great, greatly appreciate you being here. Our sponsor for this is Datacom. They market one of the largest and most robust financial databases in the US. So we want to give them a shout out. Appreciate you guys very much. And yeah, we're going to dig into these subjects. There's just so much to talk about when it comes to AI and writing. And, you know, so many people now on LinkedIn are just posting all of this regurgitated kind of word salads that we see with no spaces in there. There's no paragraphs. It's just like this whole block of text. Like sorry to tap my microphone. I'm a bit excited about this. Like after like two or three lines, no one reads that stuff. So what the hell are these people thinking?
Well, I think there's always a distinction in volume and quality. And, you know, by the way, there are a number of these people. I will confess to actually reading some of that, and that's not entirely accurate. I confess to going click and watch it with three lines, more, click on the more. And then I see the block of text, or there are some very, very clever big names that now have broke out of paragraphs with teeny little symbols before every paragraph. That to me is the absolute red light. Don't bother reading. Because how original is that stuff? There are a couple people that you and I actually know who do that. And at least two of those big names, they're always online. They're always big time speakers here and there in Asia and Europe. And I sent two of these people a note about a week ago saying, by the way, do you actually do any work? All the million clients, every Fortune 5 in the world, do you do any work? And one of them wrote back to me, nice person, tremendous credentials. Are you being unkind to me? I said, no, but please educate me. I have a very expansive day. I'm putting in hours that most people don't relate to. I don't have time to do that twice a day, every day. Therefore, and I said to this very nice person, do me a favor, and I'll stop talking. Take a picture of your mantle in your living room over the fireplace. The person said, I would be glad to. Why? I would love to see the shrine you have built for AI on your mantle, because you must be praying to that. Now, the intent was not to make fun. It's the spaghetti model. Take a big bowl of spaghetti, throw at the wall, something may stick. So you can get the wall dirty just by having a bowl of spaghetti. It's a phenomenal thing for me to see this. And I did, because I abhor word salads as much as I abhor situational ethics. I did take one of those brilliant pieces somebody wrote, 1,500 pages, 1,500 lines, and I took the thesis sentence and I threw it into two AI mods. And you know what I came up with? A 72% match. Awards. So I said, are you going to go back to, I may be giving away too much here. Are you going to go back to the London School of Economics or give him back your diploma? Because basically you've turned into a fraud. I went off a tad because I'm trying to have a little fun at it rather than just becoming upset. If I can't come up with something original, why bother? You know, I said, I have a collaborator in Croatia. I suggested to him, if that's what we're going to do, how about we grow a very long beard? We move to Pavuvu and sit on the beach wearing grass skirts and drink tall umbrella drinks. Now, that's original, because I don't know anybody else has done that. But I'm not writing that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, over the years, I've been studying AI probably, I would say 10 years now. I was on a panel, a round table, IBM event in 2014. And that's practically like forever in this kind of world, right? And back then, everyone was worried about their jobs, and they were very scared of losing their jobs and all these sorts of things. And actually, this pertains to writing very much so. And a lot of companies, I forget which ones, but recently they've spoken out and said, we will not use AI in any of our business, right? In terms of writing or marketing and this and that. I personally think that it has its place. I think that there are uses that you can find it for it. I think that actually AI for bloggers, if someone is very good at coming up with the right mixture of information, and they have a good eye for information, and they can actually edit and they can actually write as well, I think AI writing is very good, but that doesn't help you with structured writing. Like, to be a storyteller, you need to know how to be a storyteller, right? And you need to have structured writing in order to use AI and artificial intelligence within your writing. You must be able to plan your content. And I'm going to dig out a piece of paper here I've got in my drawer here that I wrote when I attended a workshop with a New York Times bestselling author 6 times. And we've discussed this process together. And I know you kind of liked the process, Stephen. And it kind of goes into what a really good story should have, what a book should have, basically. And I'm going to just dig that out. But I'm interested to hear more about what you have to say on this topic in the meantime.
I recall you sending me that piece of paper, Nathaniel, probably a year ago, in as much as I'm a storyteller. Some people think I'm a raconteur. I now believe that too, because I learned how to spell the word. So it's a good thing. A story. Now, universally, first of all, a story has to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And it has to, and as important as those steps are for the listener or the reader, is the process of that. I take you from this little town at the turn of the 19th century in Croatia, Lithuania, with a seemingly minor event, to something that happened in a Fortune 5 company last week. It's very simple to go, boom, here it is. Now, if you ever attend one of my seminars, I don't do seminars. I do talks. There's a big difference. Every talk I've ever given for audiences from 5 to 3,000, I put my notes on a big whiteboard, just number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 22, and they're absolutely unintelligible. Croatian hijackers. Speaking of you, front-loading washing machines, avocado green pots and pans. And, okay, it just happened to be topics I did on a thing called conflict resolution. And the whole notion is that everybody can go click, click, tap, tap, and get dry content. Anybody can do that. But once you get into an hour of that, you are falling asleep. You're contemplating at least intellectual suicide. If I hear one more speaker show me boxes and arrows, I actually created one of those. It's called the decision-making sausage. Look it up. We did a talk on that on Book Boom. But beyond that, nobody remembers the 17th slide. Nobody wants to study it. But you know what? They'll remember a story told by a good storyteller like you, hopefully me, that brings it home, people home, time relationship home, value home, where you can recognize, oh, that's interesting. And almost every story you tell, someone will recognize something in it for themselves. Therefore, they remember. You know, simple topic, power versus the perception of power. Oh, really? You want to read 35,000 words on that? Or do you want to remember me when the sharpshooter in this airport in France blew out the front tire of the 767? And said to the hijacker, okay, what do you want to do now? The hijacker had bombs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But to me, a story is timeless if it's told well and it has a reason. I have a couple of relationships in the public speaking world. And I was talking to this really, really, really super lady. And then I talked to her. I said, I'll tell you what. How about I'll see you later? She happens to be a 1.5 hour plane ride. So I got on the plane and we sat down. I said, you know, because she's fascinating. Now, she books major events, big conventions. Her topic is women-related issues. And I tell you what, the spectrum is amazing. And she wanted to book me to do a thing on Bitcoin, blockchain, and NFTs. When I stopped giggling, she said, what's funny about those? I told her, I can do that in 7 minutes, all of that. But what she said was, I cannot book a successful speaker who's not a storyteller. Because I can book every college professor. I can book every NGO head. I can book a head of state. They'll show up to my convention of 8,000 people. But if it's not a storyteller, forget it. People are going to start yawning and boring. We can all get the bits and bytes. We can all get the boxes and the arrows. Tell a story. Now, most people say, oh, I don't know how to tell a story. I'm a little confused. So when you go out to dinner with friends or you're doing something with your kids or family, don't you tell stories? Of course you do. Trick is bring that home to the business topic or development topic, whatever it is. For those of you watching, listening to this, Mr. Schooler and I call him Dr. Schooler because occasionally he lectures me. And how many stories do we trade? Now, just stories. This happened to me 30 years ago. Happened to him when he was driving back from Germany to Croatia a month ago. And somehow, out of that chit-chat, we enjoy it, honestly. It's fun. It's fun for me at 3 in the morning, whenever the heck we do it. How many of those stories we've told, we've turned into written or recorded materials or real specific business purpose or self-development purpose, management, all the major management, leadership, name it. We did a thing on supply chain. The Riser got a shortage of toilet paper in Los Angeles. We ended up with supply chain. Now, by the way, if you don't mind a digression to something you said about a company said, we're not going to do anything that has AI. We're just not going to do that. That is 100% disingenuous. Why? Now, remember, I go back to the AI in the 80s. We were in the AI world in the 80s. I know Nathaniel. I was 12 years old in the 80s. Okay. Mr. CEO, you folks on the board who say we're not going to do that. If you have anything resembling big data, if you mine that data, interrogate it, if you create predictive models from that, If you are, you have any need or into the whole general world of supply chain, you are using AI.
And you can use all these different tools with creating content. And now we're at a point where, you know, video is coming. We're not going to talk about really video here because it's moving so fast right now. But actually, you need to be a storyteller and have a structured approach to any of these. Just putting something willy-nilly into an AI model isn't going to give you the high-quality content that you are actually looking for with your business. But I had this piece of paper. I found this piece of paper here, the one that I was discussing with you. You can't, I think you can see it. Oh, there you go. These are the four things that make it successful. So I found that the other day because I was moving home, right? And it was interesting when we talked about it, because I like your attitude of completely just having an open attitude to these things and how you always look to improve. And I love that. And I think that actually AI is good for writing because it helps in a number of different ways. For me, it helps with writer's block. It helps with, you know, maybe changing the tone of something, maybe adding in some sort of reference sources. There are so many different ways that you can actually use it that I think it's really, really important to just consider that actually, if you are writing with AI and you are creating all of these word salads and you're creating all of this information, that actually perhaps you may need to kind of have a look at what you're doing in more detail. And if you want to do that, we can actually help you with that. If you want more in depth on this topic or any other that we broadcast about, please do let us know via direct message or email, and we'd be very happy to help you. So if you're watching this on Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter or wherever you're watching it, because we stream all over the place, or if you're listening on the actual podcast, there's an email there. If you reach out to me, we can arrange that with Stephen and perhaps write a 10-page booklet on that for you pretty quick, because Stephen has been writing for decades and he is extremely fast at doing that. So, you know, within a couple of days, we could potentially have that over to you. But back to storytelling and writing with artificial intelligence. I really do believe that the overall content is actually getting better. I think that people like us are speaking out about it. We are turning around and saying, well, actually, it's okay to use AI for certain things, but actually, you need to put some creativity into it. I mean, that's how I'm looking at it. Do you sort of share that with me or not so much?
I share that to the extent that to ignore AI is like denying the benefit of Google. Oh, you know, I don't know. I personally don't know anybody from the age of 10 up that has not used Google. Oh, by the way, let me rephrase it, has not used or misused Google. So if you want to ignore the biggest library in the sky and you want to ignore the biggest cadre of college grad students who can write, then ignore AI. But not at the exclusion of your own creativity, your own interpretive wisdom on what you are writing. Nathaniel, we're talking about a relationship I have with a really quality person who's working on a dissertation, on a PhD doctoral dissertation in a specific channel education. And I happen to, we happen to be talking about AI in context. The title of the dissertation was just changed. The AI and the thing that they're writing, a team of people. The benefit is doubtless. The use, I throw up a cautionary flag. If it's not interpreted and carried forward creatively, It's anybody's game. I don't have to be, I don't have an education. I don't have to have any experience. I don't have to have any wherewithal to write a course materials at the doctoral level on any topic. That said, what am I raising? I had a raging argument with a college professor on an airplane a couple of months ago. He had the bad luck of sitting next to me. And for a much delayed flight. And when I was done with it, we were in standing up, yelling at each other, which was really cool. Somewhere in Kansas City, I declared him a high-functioning idiot because the sum total benefit of him lecturing 400 or 500 freshmen every week, you're just going to create a whole bunch of people just like you. No, thanks. We got you. Don't need 400 more. Well, you don't understand. I said, I admit to being a high-functioning idiot. Do you? But I'm not going out to UCLA to lecture 2,000 students over the next 2 months on that subject. What are you doing? You're creating people like you. Where's the originality in this? Where is the expanse of the mind? And I said to this guy, Manningism, you understand that to a newborn, every joke is new. So you lay this on them, they say, oh, slow down. There's about 1.5 billion people out there already know this. You may not. So how do you make that useful? How do we grow generations that are inert to creativity, inert to what I strive for every day? On my own conversations with some really interesting people who thankfully give me their time, including you and you, to expand my mind. Your mind is like your bicep. The more curls you do, the bigger supple you get. That's the brain. And there is a search for me, which is perpetual, never ending, for independent thought. In fact, that's the subtitle of my latest book, you know. Taking a wrecking ball to conventions and norms in search of independent thought. We all are capable to some degree or more. I don't expect in my lifetime to come up with a cure for an orphan disease or another way to split an atom. But I fully expect to come up with some morsel. I will think it's original. Hopefully a lot of other people will think it's original. That takes us back to the whole educational part of AI and the use of AI. Yeah. How do I use AI? I use two AIs. Copilot, because I love the name. Copilot to me is just Google on steroids with limits. That sounds like an oxymoron. No, this is massive stuff limited to the first 8 things that are relevant. They're not advertising dollars related. And then there's Gemini or Bard. Now, as much of a wordsmith I'd like to be, I still search for that right word. Or I use a word that people are going to like relate to instead of some obscure piece of word I pull out of nowhere. Say, what does that mean? One of the best things for me is when I get a note from somebody really relevant and say, loved it. But this first time I had to pull out my thesaurus to read it. I think that's cool. It's also very bad because the idea is to communicate. The idea is not to flex your thesaurus. But so I will go to that and say, I would like some alternative synonyms to this, or I will write a sentence that even I think is torturous, meaning my editor has not gotten a hold of it yet. And I say, is there not a way to say this? And yeah, there's 9 other ways to say this. That computer is telling me, basically, Steve, you're being arrogant. Here's a better way to say this. Terrific use or AI for me. You know, so to me, it's a tremendous research tool, but I bifurcated between factual stuff and, you know, the soft stuff.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, I'm amazed going back to something we said before. Is when I bounced a 1,600-word essay back at somebody, and I say, okay, I reproduced 72% of this. by using Gemini. Okay. I want the refund of my subscription to your publication.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. That's a good point.
By the way, I didn't get any pushback and got my money.
Yeah. That's a good point, because there are lots of blogs out there. There are loads of keyword driven searches that are happening. But I think, you know, from the reading that I've been doing, everything is changing in this world, and including keyword search on Google. Look at the way that it's working now. When you actually use an AI instead of using the actual search engine, and that is going to be changing the way that publications get traffic. They're not going to be getting as much traffic. People are going to be suffering. Their website's going to be suffering. That, you know, these things are changing the entire landscape of blogging, writing. Artificial intelligence is here. The fact is that you need to find different ways to actually make money. And, you know, that's why my personal preference is that I like to speak about things. I like to talk about things. Yes, I like to write. Stephen likes to write also. And also so do our other collaborators. Big shout out to Nicholas Babin, who's amazing. Big shout out to Lisa Ventura, MBE, who's also amazing. Got lots of other collaborators, but we like to create a structured approach to these things. And actually, writing is really, really important. So one last shout out to our sponsor, Datacom. They market one of the biggest and most robust financial databases in the US, and we love those guys. So, yeah, I want to thank you, Stephen. You've been most kind to share your time. Always enjoy speaking with you, and I'm sure we're going to talk about this topic much more. And if you do want any more information on it, then just drop me a message. I'm going to drop the email somewhere around for you. So, thank you so much once again for listening.
And thank you, Nat. Thanks.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.